we go. The John Curley Sherry Ellinger Show. Yeah, there you are, everybody. All right, lots of news gets you. By the way, I'm busy trying to get the costume to Seattle for you to wear, Sherry. Jacob has put up a photograph of a clown costume, and I have another one for you, so just making sure it'll fit you. Okay?
Is the concern that it would be too small?
I can't tell from the photo. We'll see.
Diving okay.
This is for the Memorial Day parade there in Easton. Again, I don't want to build it up too much. It's not a giant parade. It's a small one, couple of blocks, but I'm emceeing the thing. Again, don't quite know how to emcee a parade because you just assume anybody within, like, speaker distance can hear you, but people that are further down can't, right? So you just sort of, you're working a small crowd emceeing the parade.
I have a couple questions. So okay, yeah. The costume covers the wearer's entire face and body, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so we're having Sherry fly out to Easton for a parade and then to immediately put on a costume where no one would know who she is inside?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe. Could we just put anybody else in there and say it was
it's
Sherry?
Authenticity.
Yeah, that's a no. Great idea.
Okay. We're in the middle of a news program, Jacob. All right? It's a news program.
Sorry.
Check it out. Cairo News.
Yeah. Check out the newsy picture that you sent out that you want me to wear.
Sherry,
now
that's
Sherry, Andrew, the book, please.
Man, this book's wearing out real quick. The binding's
yeah,
coming
put
apart.
Sherry's name in there.
Everybody's name is in it. Here at this point.
Jerome, not mine. Jerome Powell announced that he's woken up from a deep nap and decided to raise interest.
Before I go into the details of today's meeting, I'd like to take this opportunity to speak directly to the American people. Inflation is much too high, and we understand the hardship it is.
Wait, I thought it was transitory. Janet Yellen said transitory. The president told us last June that no economist worth his salt saw there's no long-term inflation coming. That's
causing.
Yeah.
And we're moving expeditiously to bring it back down. We have both the tools we need and the resolve that it will take to restore price stability on behalf of American families and businesses. The economy and the country have been through a lot over the past 2 years and have proved resilient. It is essential that we bring inflation down if we are to have a sustained period of strong labor market conditions that benefit all. From the standpoint of our congressional mandate to promote maximum employment and price stability, the current picture is plain to see. The labor market is extremely tight and inflation is much too high. Against this backdrop, today the FOMC raised its policy interest rate by a half percentage point and anticipates that ongoing increases in the target rate for the federal funds rate will be appropriate.
Okay. So they're trying to squeeze the additional cash out of the economy by making it more expensive to borrow money. And this is how you do it. You simply have that lever and you pull back, you raise interest rates to cool the economy so it doesn't overheat. Well, then you run the risk of stagflation where everything just gets frozen in place, or you could run into a recession. So yesterday or Friday, I'd seen that they were predicting about 35% chance of a recession within the next year. But you got to get the additional dollars. We poured almost $6 trillion into the economy in order to keep people at home when we'd locked down the economy. And now we're trying to get all that money out of the economy. So it's hurting everybody, whether you want to rent a car, buy a car or credit cards. Banks will raise rates as well. Mortgages are going up. It's the, what is it? This is the biggest leap in what, since like 2000 or something,
yep.
As far as the lit. Yeah. Yeah.
22 years. Yep.
Jeez. I'll tell you, that's the thing that really, you really feel it. If you feel it every time you go to the gas station, every time you go to the supermarket and you look at that bag, I always find myself turning to somebody next to me and go, can you believe that? Can you look at this? I'm complaining about, like, that's $72, right? That's $75, $78. And they're looking at it and like, I know. And then they show me what they have. That's why I came up with the idea of I'll buy your groceries for you if you tell me a good joke. But again, Very few people have good ones, or very few people have clean ones, I noticed. So that's the seems to be running in. I can't buy your groceries if you don't have a good joke. By the way, my friend that has the costume is sending more information for the costume, Sherry. So we'll
more details on you being
in the parade.
I'm anxious to hear. That's right. Now, one potentially, you know, good thing or sort of a silver lining, the stock market did go up 900 points today. So it's the best in a long time. So that's a good thing.
You take that. Okay. Well, listen, Bill Gates, who's not a doctor, but everybody seemed to want him to be a doctor. He has been talking about, well, he was on with Trevor Noah, and he was explaining, he's doing a whole bunch of world tours, and he seems to be everywhere Bill Gates is. So here he is talking to Trevor Noah about the next pandemic.
Well, how do we prevent something where we don't even understand how it came to be? Like, you know, are there labs where they need to do better at you know, in closing the work that they're doing? I understand that they have to do the work, but how do we figure that out, and how do we move forward in that realm?
Well, we should be careful about lab safety. It's quite clear in this case that it came across through
animals. Now, listen to this. Listen to this.
Animals. Mm-hmm. And almost all our diseases, like HIV, crossed over from chimpanzees in Africa quite some time ago. Ebola came from bats. This also, with one step in between, came...
It came from one step in between. What was the step, Bill?
From bats. So it's going to keep happening, particularly with climate change, where we're invading a lot of habitats. And you want to catch it as soon as you can.
How do we do that?
Well, you...
We don't fund... the research that we were funding in Wuhan that created this virus.
See people getting sick. You see elevated deaths, and you go in there and you actually take and you sequence it early on. And then you have a global group that is ready to go, kind of like a fire squad, comes in, and very quickly you diagnose people. Some countries have had a tenth the deaths of the United States because they were a little bit more ready. And, you know, so, boy, we learned a lot in this pandemic. I mean, in 2015, yes, the warning was there, but now we know a lot more, and it's obvious, pretty obvious what should be done.
Okay. Isn't it interesting that they've given up entirely on finding out the origins of the thing? It is amazing that they were supposed to try to find that, and then they came up with about a page and a half and said, oh, we can't, we still don't know. But there's another paper that came out about 2 weeks ago saying, nope, they've got more and more information how it had come from the Wuhan lab, what was done at the time, because no bats were being sold at that market. And also there were none of the animals at that wet market had the virus, and they were actually doing the work on bats at the Wuhan lab. Two labs in the entire world were working with this. One of them was in Wuhan, the other was in Texas. Here is more from Bill Gates. This is what he thinks should happen next time the pandemic comes. Like, what country handled it well, Sherry?
Does zero COVID still make any sense as a policy?
Well, the countries like Australia, which acted quickly in the pandemic and rolled out diagnostics and quarantine, has less than 10% of the death rate of most rich countries. You know, Taiwan has almost a 1% death rate. New Zealand, about a 4% death rate. So, you know, do you want those people to be alive? I mean, what the U.S. or the U.K. did is, you know, it's the worst in the world, and people expected them to be the best in the world. So, the countries that were able to suppress this thing, there is a way out where they end up with less economic damage and less medical damage, less learning damage than most of the rich countries. But the clock is ticking that, you know, China could become like Hong Kong.
Did you see what happened in Australia, Sherry, and what they did to lock them down?
Oh, absolutely. And then they were, you know, taking people off the streets. I mean, it was kind of unbelievable. And 10% of the death rate, you know, how, I don't know where Bill Gates is getting his figures. And I also don't know, why is he on the media trail right now? What is he promoting? What is he even doing?
Is he, I don't know, but he's the expert on everything. So
everything,
they ask him a whole bunch of questions.
Yeah.
So I saw in Australia, for instance, the government, first of all, the media did an amazing job of scaring the living crap out of everybody. And when they did this, they did polls every month to find out how many people believe that if you get COVID, you go to the hospital and die. And it was, the number kept going up every month. So they were really succeeding in scaring everybody to death. Then they made you have the app on the phone. You would then get a text from the government saying, where are you? Then within 5 minutes or some amount of time, you had to take a photograph of yourself and show that you were in your home. And if you weren't, then they would come and find you where you were and arrest you and put you in jail. There was a woman who put stuff up on Facebook saying, hey, there's going to be a protest over the weekend. Here's information on it. The police knocked at her door in the morning and arrested her in handcuffs and took her away. Another woman was driving along. She also put something up on Facebook talking about a protest that they were going to have. It's a peaceful protest. And they followed her in her car for about 2 miles, then pulled her over, took her out in handcuffs, and she went away for 3 weeks. There were protests, but then you were shot with rubber bullets and tear gas. This is the way Australia, as Bill Gates likes to talk about, how well they did as they took freedom. First of all, they brainwashed everybody in that you're all going to die. And then they removed their freedom. They were willing to give up their freedom because they felt the government was coming in to save them from this thing. So that gives you some idea of the way Bill Gates would like to see maybe the United States handle it. But I guess when you're one of the richest people in the world and you can fly around in your own jet and you can go anywhere you want and hang out with people like Jeffrey Epstein, it doesn't matter necessarily because you're not really caught like everybody else. You don't lose your job. You don't lose anything. You can still be Bill Gates and fly anywhere you want. But for the rest of us, get in your house, stay in there because the government is here to watch you. They had night goggles. They had helicopters that would fly around and look for people that were on rooftops that were, you know, not in their homes and then go in there and arrest them. Oh, my God. I tell you, I couldn't believe what was happening in Australia. And the people just let it happen.
Mm-hmm. Do you think... on some level, let me play devil's advocate, was it worth it to save that many lives? I mean, if we're talking close to 1 million deaths here and they had, say, 100,000 deaths.
First of all, they're an island, right? They're an island.
Yes.
Right? Okay. And it's a totally different situation there. The size of, whether 28 million or something like that. I look to see their average age is 37. That's close to us. Also, 62% or 68% or are overweight. That's about like United States as well. But again, they are an island. And what they give up when it came to excessive deaths, their numbers were huge. Their suicide numbers were gigantic compared to the United States. And overall, for us, still, it continued to kill mostly old, mostly infirmed. That's the numbers. You can't move away from those numbers. Yeah, did we have 1 million people that died? Yes. We have 620,000 that die of heart disease every year and about 640,000 that die every single year from cancer, so included in there. So we then had extra people that were part of that mix of almost 1 million in the last 2 years that were died from COVID. But the majority... 99% survival rate, 98.7% survival rate. You couldn't treat the 20-year-old like we treated the 80-year-old, but that's the way we did it when we locked everything down. So the excessive deaths also need to be included into Australia's numbers, which they don't do that. And, you know, how much do you want to give up? It's always, you know, do you want freedom, right? Or do you want security? Sometimes you can't have both. There's a balance between the two. You know, you want to be like in Shanghai where people are locked up and starving to death, where they're kicking dogs to death and rounding up people's cats and putting them in bags and drowning them to save everybody. It depends on how free do you want to be. So,
yeah,
I see him on there. I see every time I see Bill Gates on there, like, don't even bother listening. Why is he an expert? He's a doctor now.
Like you said, he's Bill Gates. So being the one of the richest men in the world gives him, I guess, some kind of expert status on everything in the world. It's why, and not only that, but Bill Gates does do a lot of philanthropy work, and he does a lot of work in research. I mean, he is involved with it. He himself probably doesn't do it, but he sort of fancies himself this guy that knows a lot about the human condition. And so he, you know, that's probably why. And he comments on all of this stuff. But he is sort of making the rounds a little bit. And I'm just wondering why. Why all of a sudden? Is he doing damage control after what his wife had come out with him and Jeffrey Epstein and her little swipe at him? Or is there a book in the works or another project?
He does have a book he's promoting called How to Prevent the Next Pandemic. So that's...
Oh, he is an expert.
Okay. Well, he had a climate change book that came out about a year ago, and people panned that. Scientists that took a look at that said, yeah, that one's that's not flying. So, oh, he's got the book on the pandemic. Okay, yeah. All right.
Makes sense.
Andrew, put Jacob down for having Bill Gates on the show, too.
I'm running out of ink at this rate, goodness.
Bill Gates and Joy Behar.
Oh.
And then Mickey telling us she named all of her children after bartenders.
All right.
At TGIF Friday.
I thought I already marked down Mickey for that.
Mickey's not down. No, Mickey's not down for that. Put one of her kids down, though.
Oh, okay. Jeez.
Right, wow. Sorry.
That's
the tyranny,
okay.
Huh? Thank you. Thank you, Sherry. And now a little tip if you happen to be a clown.
There are a few common sense rules that every clown ought to be aware of.
That's right. I'll run over those with you, Sherry, since you're going to be wearing that costume in the parade. All right. Bucky's Auto Service Centers. They've got 16 locations. They've been around for 52 years. That's the place to take the car. It's Bucky's Auto Service Centers. Go in there, and they'll love the work that they've done with that car of yours. Okay. This is a sad story. The woman, a bunch of people were in a car accident. What country did this happen in? This woman was...
Peru.
Peru. Yeah, so there she is. She's in this. They take her out of the car. They take her to the hospital, and they say, well, she's passed. So the family starts to do the funeral arrangements. Everybody is there at the funeral, and they're there, and they go to the pallbearers, lift up the coffin, and it's on their shoulders, and then they... Or she's either knocking or making, you know, saying, hey, you know, in Peru, which I... Here's the Peruvian accent.
Hey, I'm stuck in here. Hey, you guys, let me out of here.
That's the coffin accent.
Hey, yeah. Hey, guys. Hey, yo. I'm not dead. I'm not dead. It's your worst nightmare. Still alive.
And they quickly put the thing down and then rushed her back to the hospital. The same hospital they took her to originally, which wasn't the best move. I guess they still had the receipt. And then they're like... Okay, she's alive. And the family's like, oh, my gosh. And then she died.
Yeah, the family's not
too... There's the end of the story for you.
Not too happy about this. They're kind of wondering how this happened in the first place. Like, maybe if they had kept her at the hospital, she could have survived. But instead, they put her in the coffin and did all of that. They think what happened was she was in a coma. Right. And her heart rate was very, very low. And then she came around, she opened her eyes, she was alive, they took her back, and not so much.
By the way, Tom and I did the show for 12 years. This was his biggest fear. And as Jacob and I were talking, and you were saying the other day, and Jacob, you don't remember that being Tom's biggest fear is being in a coffin and being lowered into the ground, and people still think he's dead and he's still alive. And then the joke was always... What type of inactive lifestyle do you need to have in order for people to mistake you for dead all the way to the point that they're lowering you into the ground?
I was talking to Brian about this too. Yeah. And the number of people that have to believe you to be dead. Like, it's not just one person. Like, there's several people that sign off on that.
Right. It's like a night watchman just happened to go, I was mopping the floors and looked over and I had some extra toe tags. No. Yeah. That was just... Because we used to talk about, you know, biggest fear, this or that, or dreams or wishes, you know, all those stories that came out. And then, without a doubt, that was always the one Tom went to. Fear of being buried alive. I'm like an earthquake? No, like in a funeral.
Did he have an experience where he had somebody in his life?
It happened to him six times.
They thought he was dead.
Yes.
He was in Peru.
I mean, the first three, it's a fluke. It's a fluke. Yeah. But by the fourth time, something's wrong. There was the story, I sent it to Jacob, or just Andrew, but then I just listened to it. Lots of curse words in it. An Irish guy put a tape in his casket, and when he got lowered into the ground, then he had one of his family members press the button, and it was him going, "Hey, what are you doing? Hey, I'm still in here. Wait, hold on. Get me out of here. I can't breathe. I can't breathe." And everyone's laughing and laughing, and the priest is laughing, and everyone's laughing. As the last laugh is this old Irish guy decides to, put a tape recorder in the casket. You know, hey, that's a good way to go. I mean, if you're always known as sort of being a joker like that, I could see you do something like that. Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that where the term dead ringer comes in? That people used to work so hard that they actually had a bell in the coffin or some kind of a thing that people would work really, really hard and they sometimes would just drop and they'd think they were dead. They'd put them in the coffin and there would be a bell in there that they could ring if they weren't dead.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's where the dead ringer comes in. Probably should have Googled it before I said that.
No, that's all right. Andrew, get out the eraser and erase one of the marks on Sherry. That's pretty good.
I actually have the sound of that Irish guy, and it should be bleeped because I've bleeped it before.
The famous last words.
Let's find out what happens.
All right, so we're all gathered around.
Hello? 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 Let me out! Hello! Hello! Let me out! Here!
Yeah, I remember we did this story, and then when we finished it, I then critiqued him for not being funnier, or at least not having an end to this bit. And Tom then said, "That's heartless. Listen, you good. The hello, I can hear the hello out there, right? Now you got everybody there. Say something profound." He just kept going on and on. He had no ending, no bit, no, you know, rim shot, no nothing. But you've got everybody there. Then, yeah, rim shot would have helped. But then at a certain point, you know, say something with your Irish accent, maybe an Irish poem or sing Danny Boy. You want to should be an emotional roller coaster. There should be a series of emotions you go through. So you make them laugh, and then you make them cry, and you make them laugh again. There should be more to it than, because the guy just kept doing the same thing.
Well, also, he could have pointed.
Roller coaster.
Yeah, could have pointed people out in the crowd, like, you know, I know Molly's out there, and she's probably wearing that same green dress or something like that. Like,
No. Andrew, put the mark back on her shirt. No, I'm saying you do the comedy. It's like Cats. Cats is like you laugh and you cry. It's the whole feeling. So, yeah, you could do the thing about the woman wearing the dress and this and that and the priest. But then at a certain point, now make them feel something.
You have their attention, so really leave them with something that they can remember.
Okay. That tape kept going on. Hey, no, wait, I'm still in here. Whoa, hang on. Oh.
Well, maybe he recorded that when he was, you know, kind of like losing it or something, and he really didn't have anything left to say, and that was the best he could do.
Really, Sherry, you're going to be all mamby-pamby on me now. So,
somebody just texted in and said, "Do they not embalm bodies in Peru?" Which would be another layer of Tom's concern. It's by the time he got into the coffin, he probably will have been embalmed. So not to worry.
I tell you, Dive, I was sitting next to an undertaker on the plane. And what do you do? Oh, I'm an undertaker. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I thought, you know what? Whenever I'm going to get to talk to an undertaker, I asked this guy, I said, "So what do you do when you get a body?" And he basically just gave me like the little top two sentences. I said, no. Like, how do you get all the stuff? Like, where do you make it? And with that, he just launches into the whole thing. And the lady sitting behind us leaned forward. She said, "Can you please stop talking?"
It was too much.
Too much for her.
Yeah. It's pretty gruesome.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there we go. That was our death segment right there, everybody.
MyNorthwest.com.
Text as well. Come on in. You've got a good death story.
Learn about mortuary sciences here.
Oh, wow. Ugh, like under the eyelid, what they do under
the
eyelid.
Oh, no.
da-da-da-da. All right, in Nantucket. There once was a man from Nantucket who wanted to go to a nudist beach. I don't know if that's part of the limerick, but they are voting on it. Where are they on this? Have they decided they are going to have a topless beach for women in Nantucket?
They are. The residents voted 327 to 242 to make all beaches topless. It's called.
So according to the agenda from last night's meeting, you can see here that this is about gender equality on beaches, they say. And that's because the woman who drafted this measure calls it top freedom for all genders.
Being topless is not being nude. This bylaw would not make beaches nude beaches. This bylaw would allow tops to be optional for anyone that chooses to be topless.
So that's Dorothy Stover. She's a seventh-generation Nantucketer and the daughter of a former town clerk. She's also a self-proclaimed love and pleasure educator. The bylaw she proposed and the amendment was introduced during day two of Nantucket's annual town meeting yesterday. It reads, quote, in order to promote equality for all persons, any person shall be allowed to be topless on any public or private beach within the town of Nantucket. And that garnered 30 minutes of responses from town meeting voters.
I may not choose to go topless. God forbid everybody'd run away. But I think other people should have that choice.
Right now on Nantucket, there are a number of beaches that people know you can go topless. It's sort of private. If you want to take your top off, I don't have a problem with it. But I don't think we need a law to make me feel equal to men.
And last night's vote was to make all beaches on Nantucket topless. The final vote was 327 to 242. The measure now needs the Attorney General's signature to become effective.
Mm-hmm. All right. In Nantucket. You ever been to a nude beach?
Yes. We were in Barcelona, and we didn't realize it was a topless beach. And so we're at this bar, and I think Trevor probably had to see a chiropractor for about 6 months after that, from turning his head to look around at the topless beach. But yeah, we didn't participate.
He didn't put on the sunglasses and just act like he had sunglasses on and you couldn't see where his eyes were.
Well, I think we were facing in a way where you had to kind of turn around to be able to see it, because we didn't really realize it until we sat down at this bar and then we look outside. Oh, well, looky there. So yeah. Have you?
Yeah, I was in Nice, France, and it was a topless beach. I was there with my dad. With the whole family, I was there for an Ironman, and it was a couple of days before the race, and we're sitting there. It was a topless beach, and my father was explaining to me, you see, you want to always leave something to the imagination, okay? And you see her? So he's there analyzing. He's got the kids with him. He's like, okay, kids. So he's telling all of us. He was always like these lectures, and I guess the lecture was leave something to the imagination because it's more exciting that way. So then he would point to some woman. He said, now you see her? Now look at her. Now I see? Now leaving a lot to the imagination. Now she takes it. Okay, now she's going to take her top off. Okay, so she's taking her top off. All right. So now, you don't have any questions now, right? Imagination gone. All right. How about this one over here? I was just like, how long is this going to go on for?
How old were the kids? Was this an appropriate education lesson here with the nudity and the strangers? I mean...
Well, I don't know,
Dad.
Five and six.
And they weren't like, Daddy, why is everybody naked?
Let us get the f*** out of here.
Yeah, that's what Charlie said. No, I was they weren't paying attention. It was to me all about imagination.
Oh,
but it was the same guy that said to me, when my mom caught me with a Playboy, my mom said, go in and tell your father. So I had to bring the Playboy in there and say, Mom, found this, and I'm sorry. And my dad then, flipped through it, and he said, I got news for you. Women don't look like this, all right? They don't look like this. And he threw the magazine back at me.
That's actually a good lesson, right? To realize that don't get your hopes up. Because it's not going to happen. Sorry, Charlie. Not really that way.
I was like, okay, and I went back downstairs, and my mom goes, what'd your father say? He said, the women don't look like that. And that was it. I was like, okay, I don't really want to be more specific as to what they do look like that, because I kind of like that. Like, if, I'm telling you right now, you're setting yourself up for a lifetime of disappointment.
Right.
And then I guess he continued the lecture. He was, and continuing the lecture there in France. Same thing. See, I told you. See? They don't look like that.
Yeah, those people anyway. In Nantucket, they're going to get in a rude awakening.
Get Trevor. They're going to see some neck problems. All right.
Oh, dear.